Hello, welcome to the Sound of La Liga preview. Joining me today to discuss the upcoming weekend fixtures are Jack Benson and Daniel Dell. Friday night sees Depor opponent to Betis. How do you think that one's going to go?
Well, I anticipate a close game between both teams, Gav. I think there's only 4 points between them. There's 4 places between them. And it's going to be a real close game where it could go either way, 2-1, 1-0 win. If it were played at the Benito Villamarin, I'd strongly fancy Real Betis with how good they are at home recently. Six games without a loss at home. A fantastic result and a fantastic performance last week against Barcelona. Now, I know they did get a concede a late equaliser through Suarez, but I don't think that'll knock the confidence. And I think the managers, I think the rest of the coaching staff, the players, they'll take so much out of the performance and how well they played. I do think they'll be quite confident that they'll get 3 points on Friday night. I'm going to go for a Real Betis win. Depor is struggling. They haven't got a win in the last four. I'm going to go 3 points to the away team.
I agree with you, Dan, in the sense that Betis will win, but I don't think it will be as close as you think, purely because Depor are just looking so bad at the moment. They're really in danger of getting sucked into the relegation battle. In fact, they are just 5 points, I think, ahead of Sporting, who are in the last relegation spot. They haven't won a game in 2017 yet. They've had a few unlucky results. So the Real Madrid 3-2 loss, the Malaga 4-3 loss, and the Sevilla 3-2 loss, all of which they conceded really late goals, which, you know, is a killer. But they've also dropped some really silly points. The 2-1 loss against Leganes earlier in the season really springs to mind. And Betis, they just look so impressive. And after last week's performance against Barcelona, confidence is going to be running high. And Dani Ceballos is just running things in the middle of the park. So I reckon it will be quite a comfortable Betis win.
Well, I'm going to go against both here and say Depor are going to spark into this game and do to Betis what they've done to La Real.
What makes you say that?
Just to be different, Jack.
Create some argument.
Saturday morning, we have Malaga versus Espanyol. And it was a good performance last week for Espanyol against Sevilla, while Malaga held on to a 1-1 draw with Osasuna. What are we looking at this one, lads?
For me, I was thinking about this earlier, and in many ways, I think Espanyol are the type of side that Malaga really should be aspiring to kind of copy from this season. So Espanyol are defensively sound. They've got kind of right mixture of youth and experience in their squad. And Quique Sanchez Flores, to his credit, knows when to introduce younger members of the squad and players who have come up from the youth academy. He knows when to introduce them at the right time. And like we've seen with Navarro, who scored on his debut and then scored against Sevilla last weekend as well, it's certainly working. They've got managerial stability, which evidently Malaga haven't. They're just a club that are on the up, whereas Malaga, despite a whole lot of promise shown at the start of the season and in the summer, you know, with the signing of Sandro in particular from Barcelona, even though he was only a free agent, but I thought that was quite a big statement from the club in the direction they were looking to go. Obviously, mid-December time, Juan de Ramos walked. They've brought in Marcelo Romero, who still hasn't been able to get the team to win. In fact, they haven't won at all since late November. So regardless of before he came in or not, they're just a shambles and are desperate for 3 points. But I reckon Espanyol are really licking their lips for this game.
Just to pick up on what you said about Espanyol on the up, they are looking up the table. They're doing the opposite of what Malaga are doing. Malaga are looking down now. They're sitting in 14th, whereas Espanyol are 9th, and they've got 1 point to pick up on to get to where Celta Vigo are. I do think that it's going to be an Espanyol win. They've got 3-1s. Well, the last two games they've won 3-1. I wouldn't be surprised if it's an hat trick of 3-1s. They look really good on the attack. They look solid as a team. In Pablo Piatti, they've got a player who's really in some form this season, and it's good to see someone who didn't have a great season last season. That's quite an understatement, to be fair, but already has bagged quite a few goals from, I think it's 6 in the league, and only Toni Kroos has got more assists than him in the league. So they've got a few players who are starting to do it for him. They look confident. They look strong. And as they showed last week, although it was only against 10 men, they can get results when they need them.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Bogies there. I think Navarro is a cracking footballer. And wouldn't be surprised now to see him either get an assist or on the score sheet this week. Malaga are just meh. They're so unpredictable. They put in a performance against Real Madrid and then the following week they're so unpredictable. And I think a lot of it's to do with the constant turnaround of managers, the players just coming in and out. Sandro was a massive, massive miss for them. So I think that's a clean sweep. So Espanyol to beat Malaga. We've Barcelona versus Athletic. Now, Barca really, really needing 3 points now to re-kickstart the fight back in La Liga. What Athletic could do, picking up a few points away from home. But this is a massive game, isn't it?
It really is. We discussed last week, us three, about how Barca and Sevilla, they couldn't afford to drop points and they needed to keep that pressure on Real Madrid. Lo and behold, Barcelona get a draw and Sevilla lose. It's one of those games that's just come at the wrong time for Barcelona in terms of sandwiched in between them. They've got a tough opponent. However, I do think that they're going to win. I think they could do without playing a team as strong as Athletic. And I think it might take some out on them for next midweek game, in the second leg. But I think they're going to have enough in attack. If we go back to the games which these two teams play against each other in the Copa recently, Athletic got a brilliant result at home and then they didn't have enough in them in the second leg. And I think that's how this game might go. Athletic will have some good spells and I think they will score. I think they'll cause quite a few problems, especially on the counter, especially with the pace. But I think Barca will just come out on top. Lucho's got a strong squad to rotate with. We've not seen it in recent years where there's been plenty of options. I know that Busquets is injured, Iniesta's out, but they've still got plenty of players where they can bring in Rafinha, they can bring in Denis Suarez, Andrea Gomez, Rakitic, the two around, quite a lot of options for him. So I do see a Barcelona win. They really do need it after last week's result.
I think it'll be quite a different game to the one that we saw at the start of the season, where at the San Memes, you saw an Athletic side that pressed Barcelona really high up the pitch. And Barcelona were kind of forced to play more direct in order to break over the initial high press and then kind of expose the space that Athletic left as a result of that. But I think Athletic, on the road this season, they've just been so toothless. They haven't won since September. They've dropped a lot of points where, for a club that's aspiring to play in Europe, they need to be winning these kinds of games or at least picking up points. So, for example, Las Palmas, I mean, I know Gran Canaria isn't an easy place to go, but like I was saying, for a club that's aspiring for Europe and recently has been in Europe, they should be competing more than a 3-1 loss. And against Betis, even last weekend, 0-0 draw against Leganés in the Butarque. It's games like that away from home. I mean, we all know what the atmosphere up in Bilbao can do for Athletic, and it really gets the players up for the games. But away from home, they really do have a problem that they need to sort out, and it's not going to happen at the Camp Nou. I mean, they'll fight and they'll compete, but Barcelona's quality will just eventually pay dividends, and I reckon it'll be probably a 3-1, maybe even 4-1 Barcelona win.
So I probably agree with you and say Barcelona will win, but the match on Wednesday against Atletico, for the first half, they were absolutely sensational. Suarez scoring a wonder goal, and Messi also getting himself a nice little finish. But in the second half, Atletico, they basically turned the game around. Will that have an effect on how Barcelona will approach this game, or is it now hitting the stage of the season where it doesn't matter who you're playing midweek, Lucho can't be taking the soft option and resting players because he can't afford to, really, can he?
I really can't, especially with the situation we find ourselves in the league. But like I said, with the options we've got in midfield, whereas they haven't really had the numbers in previous seasons, I think they may be able to rest a couple or change it around a little bit. Maybe not full games, but maybe 60 minutes, 45 minutes to change it around. Some of the Barca players look tired, I thought, in that second half. I'm not sure about you. I'm not going to take anything away from Atleti at all. Atleti were brilliant in that second half, but some of the Barca players look really leggy. And another 10, 15 minutes in that game, Atleti could have got an equaliser. That could be a problem if that is the case. If people are looking leggy, then they'll need to rest them. If people are starting to get tired, they've played week in, week out now. Well, twice a week since the start of January now. So fatigue is going to play a small part, but it's Lucho, how he manages it now. It's all down to him. A lot more pressure. He doesn't really need a minute.
Personally, I reckon Lucho will make some changes for the game against Athletic. I think where Barcelona are realistically not going to compete for the title now. I think as much as we would love a title race, I think it really is Real Madrid's league to lose. I think Lucho is clearly prioritising the cup, certainly for the time being anyway. We saw that in the fact that he played a full-strength team against Atleti. I mean, I know it's Atleti, a really strong team, tough to break down, so you can't really afford to rest players. But that prioritising of the cup is something that we haven't really seen from big teams in quite a long time. Quite often it's just a way for the kind of lesser players in the squad to pick up some minutes, if you were. But I think with the game against Atletico being in the balance now after Griezmann got a goal back for Atleti, I think that does complicate things for Lucho. But he's still not going to take Athletic lightly, I don't reckon. I reckon anyone you slot into Barcelona's midfield, whether it be Dennis, Andre Gomez, Rakitic, they're starting to click a little bit more now. I mean, I know they had a really awful performance last weekend, but they're starting to get a little bit more understanding with one another. So I think regardless of who plays in that midfield, Barcelona will be all right.
Well, sorry, Mr. Atleti fan. Not all Barcelona fans think the league is over, so you may keep that pessimism by yourself.
Ever the optimist, Gav. Love it.
Absolutely. You have to be. But I'll tell you, that leads us nicely onto the next game, which is Atleti versus Leganés. Now, we'd automatically assume that this is in the bag for Atletico, but Leganés have shown they aren't pushovers. But they really, really need 3 points here, do Atleti, don't they?
Oh, they really do. We just talked previously there about Barcelona rotating, what Lucho rotating the Barcelona team. Atleti have got to. Simeone is in a tough situation here for me, because is he going to change the team to focus for the second leg, or is he going to keep the squad, keep playing Griezmann, Koke, other key players, and risk losing the cup? But he can't fall further behind in the league. They can't lose that fourth spot. Real Sociedad are only 1 point behind him now in fifth, so he's got a real tough decision to make this week, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does. I don't know what he's going to do. I really don't. He could do anything, can Simeone. But it's going to be an interesting game, because Leganés got a point in the previous fixture when they met each other in August, I believe it were. They've shown that they can put in performances, they can defend. So no matter what team we see from Atleti, we know that Leganés are going to be battling. They're going to be battling hard. They're going to be defending for their lives. They're going to be doing everything they can to try and creep away from the bottom three.
Well, let's put it this way. If Atleti play like they did in the first half against Barcelona and for the whole game against Alaves last weekend, Leganés will be probably coming away with more than a point, despite the fact that they just can't score goals for Toffee this season. I reckon Simeone will rotate. I think that will be aided by the fact that Gabi will be missing the second leg against Barcelona, so he doesn't have to run that risk in what is a really key player for Atleti. And that, coupled with the fact that Gaitán's starting to show the reason why we paid a lot of money for him. And Carrasco seems to be out to prove a point after the whole water bottle antics last weekend after he was substituted. Although Atleti will struggle against a Leganés side that will go to the Calderón to defend and will be certainly fired up for the game, I reckon it should be, it will be the type of result where Atleti will win relatively comfortably and it will kind of just paper over a lot of our cracks. But that's kind of a whole another story. I could spend hours talking about what's wrong with the club at the moment.
Let's not do that. We go Valencia and Eibar. Now, Valencia were well spanked last week by Las Palmas, and Eibar putting up another dominant display against Deportivo. Like, surely it's now a case that with Valencia being at home, they have to start winning this, which under Varro, they have shown an awful lot of spirit and pride, especially at home. But are we going to assume that this is back to winning ways at home under Varro?
Well, first of all, Gav, both teams, I feel for both teams as of late, because they're both tough fixtures. Eibar's had the Cup exploits and whatnot, and Valencia have had a few tough games. I'm struggling to call it. I really am. I think Valencia are good enough to get the win this weekend, and Varro's lifted the spirits. You can see that the players are playing a lot better now. That's clear to see. That really is clear to see. But there's just always that lingering doubt with Valencia at the minute where are they just going to mess up? Like they did on Monday. They started so well. They got a lead and then everything just went pear-shaped, didn't it? So I can't call this one. I don't want to call this one. I always like to call a game, but I really don't want to call this one because I can't see where it's going. What do you think, guys? Where do we think he'll go? I'm struggling for this one. I really am, guys.
Valencia, masterclass.
Nah, I reckon Eibar will give a good fight, but Valencia, the one thing that Varro has done for them is he's given them an identity again. Something that Prandelli tried and failed to do. Bakai Estarán tried and failed to do. Gary Neville tried and failed to do. So I really don't know what it is, what he does differently, but Varro, as Valencia manager, just seems to work. Despite his adamant that he didn't want the job in the first place. Yeah, they did cock it up, but, you know, Las Palmas, they are a good side. And Quique Setién, the work he's been doing there, it's a difficult place to go, like I've already said earlier on in the pod. So I did feel sorry for Valencia going to Gran Canaria on Monday and getting spanked. But I think they'll get back on the winning track on against Eibar, who will put up a good fight. And I reckon it will be a close game. I reckon there'll be a lot of mistakes, particularly in the defence. Not trying to single out Mangala for his antics on Monday night, but Valencia's defence in particular is a bit shambolic. Eibar are kind of prone to the occasional slip up, so I reckon it'll be a close game. It'll be an entertaining game, but I'm with Dan. I can't call it.
Get off the fence, lads. Jesus Christ.
We're just covering our backs for when it all goes horrendously wrong.
Just to add on to that then, guys. Jack, you've just talked about the problems what Valencia clearly have at the back, especially with Mangala. What about at the other end this weekend with, obviously, Munir picking up the red card last week? What do we think to Valencia? Because I don't think they score as much as they should as well.
Zaza.
There you go. He's got all an opportunity.
You know he's going to mess it up though, don't you?
Just don't let him take a penalty and he'll be all right.
Well, it'll be interesting to see that one, and it'll be nice to see Zaza starting, because I don't think they've much of a choice. But the next game after that is my favourite time of the day and of the week, Sunday breakfast time, Sevilla versus Villarreal. And this is an absolute cracker. Dan, are you looking forward to this one?
Oh, not half, mate. I really am. It may not be a full English, but it's not a bad way to start Sunday morning, is it? Let's be honest. I think it's quite appetising. I think we've got a really good offensive team in Sevilla. We've got a really good defensive team in Villarreal. And although they drew when they previously met, and I think we're 0-0, I can see a few goals. And I think that Sevilla, after losing last week, they need a win. Villarreal haven't performed recently like we all expected, and people have mentioned that on the pod. People have said on Twitter we expect a little bit more from Villarreal. I think they've got to attack more. I don't think they can sit as deep as they normally do, playing on that counter. So it's my game of the weekend. I had Sevilla in the game of the weekend last week against Espanyol, and I've got him in again this week. Goals, 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 hopefully. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens if, after, to say, 60 minutes, it is 0-0, and Villarreal, defending like we know they can, conceded the least in the league still. Will Sevilla push people forward at that, more people forward at that risk of dropping points at home? They've only lost at home in the league once this season. Well, they've only dropped points at home once this season against Barcelona. And after last week's performance, last week's result, I don't think they can afford to drop anything here. So it's going to be quite interesting. But I know your man, Sampaoli, he'll have something up his sleeve. Might be two at the back. It might be five at the back. Who knows? I just think it's going to be a brilliant game. And I'm going to go for a severe win. A severe win and a masterclass from Nzonzi.
I agree. I think it will be a really close game. I think it will be quite cagey, particularly with Villarreal having the best defence in the league. One area where I think Villarreal are really light at the moment is up front. You've got Bakambu, who, ever since coming back from his injury, he hasn't really looked the same ever since. He's only scored twice this season in 8 games. So, you know, for someone who was firing on all cylinders last season, it's really not the goal return that you expect. Sansone has got 7 in 19, which, considering he's kind of their best striking option at the moment, and, well, one of their only striking options at the moment after they sold Pato to China. So I think their attacking burden is going to be too much for Sansone and Castillejo, Bruno Soriano, Roberto Soriano to be able to deal with. But they are coming up against a severe side that do love to attack. And there will be plenty of space and plenty of gaps in that severe defence for pacey players to exploit and get in behind and really test the solidity of this severe side. So I reckon it'll be quite cagey for the first kind of hour or so, and then I reckon in the last half an hour it will just explode into end-to-end madness. I think Sevilla, where they are so dominant at home, I reckon they'll not necessarily cruise to a win, but I think it will be kind of 2-0, 2-1. I reckon Villarreal will put up a good performance, but Nzonzi and Nasri and Jovetic as well, who has just lit up that Sevilla side since joining on loan from Inter, I reckon they're just going to have too much firepower for them.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Joe. I think Sevilla are just going to sneak this one, but it really should be a tasty Sunday morning kickoff. And on next, we've Sporting versus Alaves. Sporting, again, another team desperate for 3 points. And Alaves, who drawn this evening away to Celta Vigo, you'd like to think that they maybe rest a few players for the game next week. But that, Jack, they should turn Alaves over, considering the kind of match for next week.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I reckon Sporting will get all 3 points. I think Alaves are well within their right to make changes for the game against Sporting, because they 100% should prioritise the cup final, well, attempting to reach the cup final. And with the way their first leg against Celta has gone, where they've just drawn 0-0, to go back to Vitoria with a clean sheet is ideal for them. So they'll be feeling like they're well in with a chance of progressing to the final. Sporting, from their perspective, I think the way they started the game against Athletic last weekend, where they were really quick out the blocks and won an early penalty, which Chop duly converted, but they can hold on to the lead. I think against a lesser attack, shall we say, I reckon the Sporting defence should be able to just about hold solid enough for them to sneak all 3 points.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Jack, about Alaves focusing on the second leg, nobody can blame them if they do rotate the team, and I think any team in their situation would do the same thing. And because of that, I do think that Sporting will pick up at least a point, maybe three. Now, if we look at the teams around Alaves, if you look at Osasuna, if you look at Osasuna and Granada, they're not going to be happy with what Alaves do, but if they're in that situation, they'd be doing the same. It's a massive result what they've got today. To go to Balaidos and keep a clean sheet is brilliant. It gives them a really good chance to reach the first Copa final. So, a much changed Alaves side going away from home to Sporting Gijón. I do think there is going to be a Sporting win. I do think it will be.
And I'd agree with his boat. And another little interesting fact there, that if we assume Barcelona get through to the final and Alaves also get through to the final, then Alaves are automatically into the Europa League, regardless of the result in the final. So they could be back in Europe for the first time since 2001, where they reached the Europa League final against, who are they against that year? Can you remember, Jack?
Liverpool.
Exactly, yeah. It was a classic 4-3, I think.
Despite being young, I know my stuff.
Golden goal are in play, weren't it? Then? Sorry, guys. Sure, golden goal.
Yeah. We touched on this with Ibar a few weeks back when we had a little chat about them potentially reaching European football and the amount of damage it would inflict on such a small squad. And I think that's even more true for a club like Alaves, when you look at the standout players this season, so Llorente, Davison, Camarasa, Teo Hernandez, all of them are on loan. And all of them, maybe the exception of Davison and Camarasa, won't be there next season. So if they do get European football, it would be a hell of a story, you know, promoted and then next season into Europe.
Big, yeah.
But it would just do so much damage to their squad because they just don't have the resources to be able to cope with the amount of fixtures.
Do you not reckon though, Jack, at the start of next season, all the La Liga teams get their, what would you call it, their new TV money, where the likes of Alaves will be handed between 30 and 40 million euro. Do you not think they will use? Because as far as I'm aware, I think Alaves is one of the few teams in the league that are actually in the red.
Ah, I did not know that.
Themselves, Villarreal and Athletic.
That surprises me.
So with that type of money coming in, 40 million, and with the way the league, especially the way we say the second tier La Liga teams do their business, where everything is just loans or youth promotion or just bargains from the Segunda, I suppose. Do you not reckon they'd just go, yeah, here, take the 40 million? Because they're going to get more money back for being in the Europa League, and all they'd have to do is play the way they're playing this season, and they ain't getting relegated next season.
It's easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, when you're playing Thursdays and Sundays, Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, and then once you kind of get past that wave, you then have the cup fixtures in January. For a squad that's not used to it, it's so not even just physically demanding, but mentally as well, having to psych yourself up for game after game after game. But like you said, with the new TV deal, they would have more financial resources. Whether they'd have the pulling power to be able to attract players good enough for European football to Vitoria, it's a very niche part of Spain. It's not like Madrid or Barcelona or Valencia or Sevilla. So I reckon they'd still struggle to attract players. But I know, speaking as an Atleti fan, I would happily send Teo Hernandez out on loan again back to Alaves if they did have European football, so he could get some experience in a European club competition. So it depends what they do with the money and how they utilise it, really.
And Dan, are you as pessimistic as our Atleti fan?
Well, just to pick up on what Jack's just said in the last line, depends how they use it. I mean, just to go into what's happening with my club at the minute. I'm surprised it's something this long to mention this, but I'm a Barnsley fan, and we've received quite a bit of money recently because of transfers, and we've sold players for big money. We've got sell on, but we've not spent it because we've got a way how we run the club, and we don't want to get to that situation. The owners come out and said we don't want to be one of these clubs who risks future. It makes me think: will that be the same case for Alaves? Will the risk throwing money around, chucking money at either for big contracts and long contracts where they're going to be 4 or 5 year deals? It just depends what they'll see as a club. It would be brilliant if they did get into Europe, and what a story it would be. But I do feel that the future of the next couple of seasons is more important for him as a club.
But would you not agree that when you have teams like, we say, Alaves, Eibar, even Las Palmas, when they get to Europe, they take the competitions so seriously, as opposed to, we say, some of the clubs in England that look at it as a hindrance? Do you not feel that they see a sense of pride in just being in Europe? I mean, again, okay, Alaves has been there. To get off topic with Alaves and go back to Eibar, I mean, you're talking about a team smaller than Wycombe Wanderers in Europe competing. Do you not think, from the fans' point of view, is that not a great thing to happen to a club? I know we look at it and say, you know, oh, it'll be detrimental to the league position, but do you not think when you're a club like that, it's just about making an impact where you can, when you can, as opposed to trying to just maintain a level of obscurity that some of the English teams do? They don't care. As long as they're in the Premier League, they don't care what they do in Europe. The likes of West Ham, Stoke, perfect examples. They just don't care.
They don't, mate. And I'm so thankful for the Spanish teams and other European teams who come into the Europa League and they give it the all. They take it in the stride. They give it a good go. And even if they don't get out of the group stages or if they get knocked out quite early, they've done it with pride. And I've got no doubt that if Alaves get to the Copa final and they end up playing Barcelona, they get Europe, they'll do the same. They'll really push for it and they'll give it the best shot. Great story for football if they do it, after, as we said, with the previous final against Liverpool. It's such a romantic story, and it makes you want, it brings more to the Europa League. I know, a lot of English teams don't look at it as they do in other countries, but long may it continue in Spain. Long may teams continue to take the cup seriously, continue to try, and continue to bring so much joy to the fans. I mean, going back to Eibar, can you imagine them bringing a massive Italian team to their stadium, or bringing a really big...
Would you wait for even allow them to use
the... Well, that's the point, that it's like going to a local football centre. So wherever they play the game, but how good that would be for their fans, and how good it would be for the grandkids, for the fans to tell the grandkids that, I don't know, Schalke have turned up in the Europa League. It would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
But lads, we're going to move on because I don't think Alaves have gotten this much coverage from anywhere, of any media. We'll go on to La Real versus Osasuna. And Osasuna has shown some decent spirit the last few weeks in the league. And La Real eyeing up the fourth spot. Jack, what are we looking at with this one?
I think this is a really tough game to call. Despite me consistently saying that Osasuna would stay up whilst they had Caparrós, and then once they fired him, I took a step back and was like, nope, they're gone now. But they're showing life, and they are showing fight, which is the most important thing. The players actually look like they care now. They, unlike Granada, they seem to have not resigned themselves to relegation, and they're still refusing to believe that and refusing to give in. They had a hard-fought draw against Malaga last Friday night, and I think if they go to San Sebastian and to the Anoeta with that same kind of grit and determination that we've seen over the past few weeks, so like the Valencia result as well, even the Granada result, even though it was only a draw, which was quite disappointing for them, it's the fact that they are now getting points on the board instead of just being cannon fodder that I think the shift in mentality there is going to do them much greater than any signings that they've made in January, even Sirigu, who I think is going to be a fabulous addition for them. But on the other hand, Real Sociedad are fabulous this season. They're like the Real Sociedad from when Griezmann and Iriamendi was first there, when they got into the Champions League. They're just a joy to watch, defensively sound as well, and they play some really beautiful football. So I think my head says a comfortable La Real win. My heart says Osasuna are going to fight out a tough but deserved draw.
Well, I'm going to go with your head there, Jack. I think it's going to be a nailed-on La Real win. I feel that the fact that they're so close to Atleti now, I think that's going to be a massive, massive boost for them. They're in touching distance to Atleti, they're in touching distance to that off-play spot. The fact that they're at home in San Sebastian, I think they'll have enough. Well, I think they'll have way too much. Osasuna will look spirited at times recently, but I just think the difference in class is going to show too much. 1 point off Atleti, looking at how Atleti have been playing and dropping points recently, I think Real Sociedad are going to get a win. They're going to put pressure on Atleti, and they're going to continue to do that for the next couple of weeks, I feel.
Jack, that Sirigu transfer to Osasuna, that's actually insane.
It's huge for them.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's absolutely massive for them.
And, okay, with the likes of La Real at the moment, like the fifth at the moment, they're just behind Atleti, but the way they're playing, there's nothing stopping them. I mean, they've no cup competitions. They just had the league. Atleti have the Copa next week. They're still in the Champions League. I mean, all depending on what Simeone does, if he, you know, say the word for me, if he prioritises the Champions League over the league, like that could come back and bite him in the arse with La Real basically robbing that spot, because I don't think Sevilla, even at worst, will go any lower than third. So I don't know. I think La Real may be a shoe-in for fourth, depending on how Simeone does. And I know you're pessimistic, Jack, so you're probably just going to agree with me.
No, I reckon we'll manage to hold on to the fourth spot. Just about. We'll make it difficult for ourselves, but we'll just about hold on for it.
And the last game of the week, we have Celta versus Madrid, and it's the third time meeting in a couple of weeks. Now, personally, it should have been a great game, but after tonight's draw, you can also see Celta resting a few players. Do you feel they rest a few players, Jack, or because it's Madrid, do you reckon the fans will demand a strong team?
I think Barista will rest players. And I don't think that will go down particularly well with the fans. I think the last thing the fans will want is for Celta to just kind of roll over for Madrid and allow a spanking. But I think a lot of it has been conditioned on tonight's game. So if Celta would have gone with a comfortable 2-0, just scoring tonight would have been beneficial for them in terms of the weekend's game, because they would have been able to rest players without the fear of it kind of coming back to bite them and Alaves going through. So if Aspas would have been able to get himself firing tonight, then I reckon players would have been rested and we would have seen a pretty not very nice end result. But I think they'll want to rest players, but not too many players, if that makes sense. So you won't see wholesale changes. You might see a couple of changes in the midfield, but I think the side on the whole will be a very familiar looking Celta side, and I reckon Aspas will be able to do some damage.
Going back to what you just said there, Gav, about the fans demanding a strong team, fans always want to see the strongest team possible, especially when the big boys come calling, and especially when they've just recently bet Real Madrid, and at Real Madrid's home in the Bernabeu. So they know, the fans know that they can get something out of this. However, after drawing 0-0 today, after failing to score, they're going to be torn between resting players and giving themselves a good chance to progress to the final and playing a decent, strong team against Real Madrid. Surely they're going to have to rest now. They need to go there and score. They need to win to advance. Whereas if they get a 1-0 win today, they could have gone to the second leg with a chance of just drawing. If they draw, they go through. They've got to go there and really go for it. And I'd like to think that Real Madrid, with a weakened Real Madrid, won't run away with this game. Obviously, they've got a few injuries. I'd like to think that it won't be a massive win, because Celta may have a knock to the confidence after drawing today. And if Real Madrid were full strength with Bale, with Modric and co, they could probably put 4 or 5 past them easily.
So Madrid are going to win.
Madrid win, 3
yeah.
points.
I don't think, yeah, there's no doubting Madrid will win. It's just whether Celta kind of roll over and just allow it, or whether they try and fight it.
Well, Monday night's match is Granada versus Las Palmas, and it would be nice to see Hesse and Halilovic start this match. And I personally hope they spank Granada, as they become a team I just love to despise. Dan?
Well, I agree with you, Gav, that I also want Las Palmas to pick up a win, but it's for the different reasons. For some reason, I just love watching Las Palmas, and it's down to their attacking football. As soon as their game's on, I have to put it on. I have to catch the highlights if I miss it. The way they attack, the way they get bodies forward, the way they play with the width, the way they change it around and attack through the middle. I've loved watching them this season, I really have. I didn't watch much of them last season, only on occasion, but this season, they really, really impressed me, and I really do enjoy watching the games. Granada, we could do it when getting relegated now, couldn't we, really? I think everyone's just, like you say, you despise them. Everyone's getting tired of them. They've won 1 in 20 this season. That's shocking. That really is shocking. And I think at the end of Monday night, it'll be 1 in 21. And I can't imagine where they're going to get the next win. They're not going to get it this Monday. And I don't know when the next one's going to come.
I personally don't care. They sacked Paco Jiménez, so that's...
I'm gonna really stick my neck out on the line here, and I reckon Granada are going to get something from the game. Las Palmas, they're so awful away from home. They haven't won since the opening day... Well, yeah, the opening day of the season, when they went to the Mestalla and beat Valencia 4-2. And I don't know what it is, but they just can't seem to go outside of the Canary Islands and pick up points. I reckon it will be quite a similar game to the Las Palmas 2-2 draw against Osasuna, where Las Palmas, they fail to start the game with the usual intensity that we see them. I think Granada, if they play their cards right, they could grab an early goal, or certainly at least a goal in the first half, and then kind of shut up shop from there. Whether they'll have enough to keep Las Palmas out for 90 minutes, especially with Halilovic and Hesse now at the club, that's a completely different question. But I think Granada will score against this Las Palmas side, and I reckon they could probably sneak a draw.
Right. I don't know what to say. I really just hope. Look, let's be fair, Jack. This away fixture for Las Palmas is actually the closest away fixture, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is.
So it's only a trip down the road. They may...
down the road, just across a couple of oceans. Yeah.
No, I've no respect for Las Palmas. As I said, they sacked a manager who could have done something with them in an insane way, but they're a mess, an absolute mess.
This is the thing. They got Paco Jiménez on board in the summer, and then they signed a lot of players that were technically quite good. They had, you know, decent technical ability, could play a pass or two. And then 6 games into the season, sack him. And so you're left with a lot of these players who can play play possession football, and a lot of them are quite attacking-minded players. And then you then hire a coach who's known to be quite defensive. It's just very poor sporting planning from them. And they've tried to rectify it a little bit this January transfer window, especially with the signing of a big target man in Adrian Ramos. It was horrific sporting planning, and why they hired him when they knew what they were getting from him. They knew the type of football that he would want to play, and they knew that it would take time to adapt to his style, and that you weren't going to see instant results. And
yeah, sure. Anyone watching the league in the last couple of seasons with Rayo, we knew that. Surely they knew it. They must.
The only reason why Rayo stayed up as long as they did was because of Hemers. You put anyone else in charge of that Rayo side, and they would have gone down.
Yeah.
The season they came up, but it was poor sporting planning, and they shouldn't have hired him because, well, they should have hired him and stuck with him, but they shouldn't have hired him if they were just going to, after six games into the season, throw him in the bin.
Yeah, so we're all in agreement. We all hate Granada and that team.
Well, I hate them for getting rid of Paco Gemez. I don't hate them. Well, I mean, they're a pretty despisable club, but... Okay, yeah, I hate them, yeah.
Well, that's... Cheers for that. Is there anything you want to bring up before we say goodnight?
I've got one thing. I'd quite like to bring up the stat that that amazed you earlier on today,
which is
Luis Suarez. Every single game that Luis Suarez has scored in for Barcelona, they have not lost. I think it's something like 67 wins, 4 draws... 64 wins, 4 draws, 0 losses. That's Barcelona's record when Suarez has scored.
That's insane.
It seems like it's not true. It feels like it shouldn't be true. But I was sad enough to, this morning, with a cup of tea, go through every single individual Barcelona result to check it. And it is true.
So, that really is. I'll tell you whose birthday it was yesterday. It was the great Gabriela Batistuta. And he was a footballer for me growing up who I absolutely idolised. I didn't think there was a striker in world football that could come near him. And even after he retired, I'd always judge strikers on him. And there hasn't been a striker like him since, until Suarez. He's absolutely out of this world. He's the goal he scored against Atleti. If Messi had done that, social media had... I was going to say a rude word there. They'd had a party for a month. But I think because of Suarez there... I love Suarez, the football. I don't really care what he does in his private life. I don't care if he bites player. I don't care. I like him. I love him for the striker he is. He's sensational. And I just think that... I mean... He didn't get into the team of the year. What is that? What is wrong with people?
That's the thing, isn't it?
What else does he have to do? I mean, that goal last night, Messi's goal got more of a reaction than Suarez's, but Suarez was, I'm sorry, by far and away the better goal.
The thing is that I don't think Suarez will ever get the
love
that he deserves, or yeah, just the love that he deserves because of the issues like the biting and the supposed racism and et cetera, et cetera. He's had too many off-field issues that have tainted his name, either rightly or wrongly. But I feel like that's going to cause him to never get the recognition in terms of awards and the like from...
The legacy.
Yeah. So, like you said with Batistuta, when you're growing up, you compared everyone to him. I don't think it will be the same for... people who are growing up watching Luis Suarez, even though it should.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
He is without a doubt the best striker on the world at the moment. By some
distance, I'd say as well.
Because it's not just his goals, his off the ball movement, the work that he does with his body as well. There's just no other striker like him. And I feel like all of the off field issues are going to tarnish that, and he's never going to get the recognition that he deserves, which is a shame because he is a sensational footballer.
Do you think he cares, Jack?
No, I don't think he cares because he's proven it to himself and to people that will have doubted him. And I think that's all he really cares about. He's proven to himself that he can do it, and he can do it at a very consistent level. And I think since joining Barcelona, for as good as he was at Liverpool, joining Barcelona has just taken him to the absolute next level.
And he's been very good since, I mean, his temperament since he joined Barcelona has calmed down a bit. He's not, I know he still has a few nasty issues.
Well, take last night, for example. I think it was him and Gabby in the second half. I think it was in the second half. Him and Gabby had a bit of a tussle in the centre circle. I think it was kind of like Gabby kind of wrapped his legs around Suarez a little bit, which caused Suarez to kind of half fall to the floor, but he kind of was able to bring himself up, but in the process of getting himself back up, kind of clipped Gabby a little bit. So Gabby went down, a free kick was awarded to Atleti. Suarez at Liverpool would have flipped. He would have gone mental. Yeah. He would have, you know, he would have done some not very nice things to that referee. But at Barcelona, you could see that he wasn't happy with the decision by the look on his face, but he kept his cool, he kept his nerve, he just went back, got into position for the free kick and just went again. And I think it's that change in attitude that has just, it's been able to take him to a great goal scorer, to a great striker.
Because I am aware that he's been warned that if he ever does that Barcelona, the club won't protect him, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think he knows as good as he is, you know, he's still not the best at that club, so he is replaceable. I know that's ridiculous to say, but I think that's crept into his mindset that he's only as good as he is because of the players that are around him at Barcelona. And I know that sounds a bit unfair on him, but I think they make it life easier on him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they got to a point during his Liverpool career where at times he seemed to be bigger than the club itself.
Not by his own doing, more so just the fact the results down to him, the goals down to him, the media down to him, everything just down to him. Now, he still plays a secondary role. I mean, even that goal he scored last night, secondary to Messi's, even though, like, I'm a Barcelona fan, Messi's goal, I see Messi doing that 100 times. You won't see many players do what Suarez done, especially against Atleti, which was nice.
Well, depends.
Sorry, Jack.
Well. Yeah. I mean, can we think of me, please?
What about yourself, Dan? What about what Jack said there?
Well, I had about 10 things that I was thinking about saying as you guys were talking, and you all covered it. You just everything. I'll say this. And then looking at it was brilliant at Liverpool. But he's really has took it to the next level at Barcelona. And I think a lot of people have underestimated the impact he's had on the club. Because they've had other strikers at the club around Messi for the last couple of years, we've seen David Villa, we've seen Eto'o, we've seen Thierry Henry, we've seen Pedro. I think people have underestimated it to say, oh, this is what we're used to. But there's so much more from Suarez. And he's off, like Jack said, he's off the ball movement, he's second to none. His positioning, his reactions, his finishing, everything what is good about a striker, he's got it. I think back to the PSG game where he makes Luis for and then put that beautiful shot in. That's the standout memory I've got of Suarez's time at Barcelona so far, and just how clinical he is. Although he's got everything else, watching a striker so clinical and so direct, it is brilliant. It really is such a magnificent player. And I don't want to discuss about his off-field antics. I know some of it's been on-field as well, but everything else what comes with it, that stopped at minute, and I'm glad that it has, because it's getting a chance for us to look at him and to judge him as a footballer, not as a human, not what his life's like, but as a footballer. And at the minute, and for the last couple of years, there's not been a striker close to him. He got a lot of comparisons to Aguero in the Premier League when they both were playing in the same league. He offers so much more than Aguero. I love Aguero. Really, really good finisher. But he doesn't do half as much on the pitch as what Suarez does. He didn't when Suarez was at Liverpool. He carried that team. And although Aguero's carried Man City for quite a long time, he's had better players around him. Suarez didn't at Liverpool. And it's going to be a sad day when the guy retires, and I don't think people will talk about him as much when he retires because he's got the negative side of him and what he's been up to in the past. But it's going to be a sad day because you don't see many like him. Fair enough, not his talent, but you don't see that many. You don't see many strikers who play the game like he does, who are so tenacious and so decisive when it matters. Is the last of a dying breed, really, because I look over Europe and I don't see many top clubs having a striker like Luis Suarez.
Yeah, and I'll actually finish this pod on this note by stating that, in my opinion, Suarez is Barcelona's best striker since Romario. And the two of them are actually thinking back, very, very similar players in their style. There hasn't been an out-and-out striker like Suarez at Barcelona. Eto was a great finisher, but he's not fit to lace Suarez's boots. Ronaldo, that one season, that's just mythical. But as a Barcelona striker, an out-and-out striker, it has to be Suarez. So, lads, thanks very much. Pleasure as always. Make sure you check out the @SoundOfLaLiga Twitter handle and the Sound of La Liga Facebook page. We will be back on Monday, and we have a special guest on Monday. We have the lad who runs Athletic Club's UK Twitter handle. And as Barcelona are playing Athletic over the weekend, it should be a laugh. Take it easy, lads. Thank you.